Hey, Stu.
Thomas, how are you, sir?
I'm good, bud. I'm good. How did Navy do yesterday?
First loss of the season.
I know.
It was close. But yeah, you can't win with four turnovers. It's hard to.
You'd be excited to hear that Columbia is undefeated.
Columbia football?
Football. They did actually play somebody, Stu. They did play teams. Yeah, they're playing other teams. They're not just going out there by themselves doing this stuff.
Hey, that's good.
Yeah.
They might win that Ivy League championship.
They
powerhouse of football up there.
I don't know, buddy. So we're on Tactical Fitness Report with Stu Smith, number 56.
Yes, we're moving right along.
It is. So, Stu, this is about nutrition before the PST. So you had a good question here, and it was about what do I eat and drink during and after a workout, and specifically, how do I deal with nutrition before a fitness test or the PST?
All right. Well, you know what? I have an article out there. In fact, we should probably do a podcast just on this article. It's called The ABDs of Nutrition.
Yeah.
And that stands for after, before, during nutrition. In fact, I'll link it into the description, but you can Google that, ABDs Nutrition, Stu Smith, and you'll see a great list of stuff that you can eat and drink before, during, and after your workouts, no matter what your goal is, whether it's weight loss or it's performance or it's PT testing, you know, all of those things. So, but let's get into the specifics of the PT test, because that's a tough one, because there's usually a lot of anxiety coming along with this test. You know, like if you're taking it for the first time, that's why here's some strategy tips for you, because that's one thing I recommend before you take this test for real, like in front of a SEAL mentor or, you know, somebody that's in your recruiting process. Take it so many times that it becomes just another workout, right? You don't need that extra anxiety of like, oh my God, how am I going to do on this test? You know, it's going to be the hardest thing ever. You know, you don't need those things blowing through your mind, you know, while you're taking this, because the anxiety of just taking this test in front of the first SEAL you ever met, or maybe just the competition of it alone, mm-hmm. you know, you get those butterflies in your stomach, and it's not really nervous. You're not really that nervous. It's just like the almost the fight or flight mode of competition. You know, it's like before you get up and you give a big presentation for in front of a bunch of people, you know, it's the same hormones rushing through your body. You're just ready to compete. You're ready to roll, you know, so use it mentally like that versus, I think I'm going to throw up. Right. And, you know, and then you go throw up because you start thinking about it. You know, you just think about, hey, I'm just ready to roll. You know, that's the type of things that tend to occur before the PST often. I mean, I still get it, and I'm not trying to do anything. Yeah, I just want to beat the guy next to me, you know, and not be last on the run anymore, you know. So it happens. You know, it's a competitive – if you have a competitive nature, it's part of the game. So realize that. Now, because of that, you're going to be burning a lot more sugar than normal. All right, so we have a couple different energy systems in our body. Mainly, our primary energy source is going to be glycogen, you know, which is really stored. Your body can store carbohydrates, and it can create glycogen from other foods, and it just stores it in the liver and in the muscles. So we have a limited number or limited amount of glycogen in our body. Now, that is why if you ever work out first thing in the morning, Tom, and you work out pretty hard, you're going pretty at you, feeling good, you're going hard, and then 30 minutes into it, you're like, ooh, I'm getting dizzy. I'm dizzy. I'm lightheaded. I think I'm going to throw up. Well, that's just you've burned up all your glycogen. You've torn up all your blood sugar that's already in your system. And now you're just – you're basically almost like a self – what's a good word for it? You almost just created a diabetic instance in your body, right? So you just have low blood sugar, hypoglycemic, right? You just self-induced hypoglycemia. Let's call it that. Exercise-induced hypoglycemia. So it's just really low blood sugar. Now, you can fix that almost immediately by having some form of carbohydrate around you. So what I usually do is I know after the swim, I just got through putting out pretty hard on the swim, I'll sip on some Gatorade or some juice, something okay. that I know my stomach can handle. Because here's what people screw up. They just try something that they heard works, right? And they go buy some goo packs or something like that, and then they go slurp it down, and then they wonder why their stomach's all upset, and they're going to throw up, you know, right in the middle of the run later on. So these are the type of issues that you're going to have. But mainly, if you're taking a PST, you're going to be in this anaerobic mode, burning glycogen and blood sugar. Okay, there's not many parts of that PST because it's so high performance driven that your heart rate's going to be high and your main energy system is going to be burning that glycogen. So it's limited. So you need to have some form of carbohydrate throughout your workout. So we'll call this before the workout, eat your normal meals. Don't go crazy trying to do something different that you don't normally do. Whatever you eat before your workouts now, eat before your PSTs. The one thing I see all the time is people, you know, will have a special meal before a fitness test, and then they wonder why they're sick during the fitness test, you know. We can kind of segue into the next segments of this, but the main thing is do what your stomach likes. But be smart and eat from the list that I have in the description of some of the foods that I know personally don't cause major, you know, gastrointestinal issues, right? So for me, it's simple Gatorade, you know, a lot of sugar in Gatorade, and I can sip that. I don't even drink a whole bottle during the test. I just sip it throughout, you know, after the swim, in between, you know, while I'm changing out of from my swim trunks into my PT clothes, take a couple sips of that, you know, in between sets, you know, of the push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups, if you got a second, take a sip of that. You know, if it's really hot, you're going to need some water, you know, as well. So you might want to, you know, mix the two together, but you're definitely going to need sugar, definitely going to need water, especially if you're sweating profusely. Some of the electrolytes in Gatorade too will be helpful in that instance as well. I would say focus on those foods. For me, that works is Gatorade, but also what works for me is some bananas, baby carrots, and apples. For me, that works. I can eat those all day, and I feel like I am keeping my glycogen and blood sugar levels to a level where I'm able to compete at a high level. So,
yeah, you know, Stu, the other thing about bananas, too, is that if you have any tendency at all to cramp, bananas, and especially in the pool, depending on the time of day, the temperature of the water, bananas really keep you in that zone of the potassium helps your muscles and helps with the cramping.
Yeah, absolutely. Those electrolytes, like I said, electrolytes and bananas, the Gatorades got a little bit in there, any sodium type foods, but you know, pretty much you're the night before, once again, regular meal, good list of foods, big salad, green leafy vegetables, you know, carrots, apples, bananas, you know, lean meats. You know, if you want to go with the pastas, you can, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Just build up that glycogen levels the night before, you know, just make sure you're well rested and you're well fed the night before your PST. And then you get into the cycle of, you know, you're 2 hours away from your PST, okay. Right? And you're hungry. What do? Don't eat a whole lot, you know, just a little bit, you know. You don't want to eat something that takes a long time to digest. You know, this is where I mainly go with, you know, more of the juice, the fruit, and not a lot of it. You know, if you want a full meal, maybe eat a full meal 4 hours before your PST, just to have some of that extra, nutrients in your body and your glycogen stored. Because, you know, the way the body works, you know, first thing in the morning you wake up, you probably haven't eaten anything in about 10 to 12 hours, right? So your glycogen is going to be naturally at its lowest. Or I should say your glycogen will be up where it is. Your blood sugar is going to be at its lowest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's why morning workouts are particularly nauseating sometimes if you really push it, if you don't have some of that carbohydrate replenishment, you know, there next to you. I mean, I've seen guys like passed out on the ground, and I've been one of them, passed out on the ground, like I can't move anymore. You know, I just say, hey, go to the vending machine and bring back a Gatorade for me. I just can't even move to go do it. And I've seen guys do it, you know, and I bring Gatorade to a guy or they bring it to me. And within 4 or 5 minutes, I am back at it again. I mean, it's amazing how quickly, you know, that you can be revived from that. So the thing is, you want to avoid that, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, and then when you're taking your PST, that's why I just take little sips of it just to keep it up. Another one I've done in the past too is bubble gum, you know, sugar bubble gum, you know, just to kind of chew it a little bit, you know, in between sets, or maybe during the transitions of, you know, that 10 minute cycle you have between the PT and the run, you know, just to get a little bit of extra sugar in there. You know, I know it works, you know, I mean, I don't swallow it, obviously, just spit it out when you're starting to run again. But it's just a real quick, easy way to do it, especially if you're doing like a long racing event or something. Mm-hmm. Sometimes if you're burning pretty hard, especially like an obstacle course event, you know, that's pretty long, you know, I always keep something in my pocket, like, you know, some bubble gum, just because I can feel it happening, you know, throughout the event, of just getting a little more lightheaded. So
that is a great idea. That's a new one to me, buddy.
Yeah.
A new one. So talk a minute about good carbohydrate options. What are good carbohydrate options for this kind of thing, when knowing you're coming in the night before and you want to have a decent meal, you know, you're going to PST the next day. What are good carbo and protein options for people?
Right. Okay. Great question. You know, once again, in that article, it's there. But the list I go with are multigrain breads and pastas. And the reason why you want more grains, it's even has protein in it, you know, the mm-hmm. multigrain stuff in it, versus the, you know, the white breads and the, you know, it's bleached, it's processed, you know, it's just, you lose a lot of the nutrients in it when it's, you know, refined breads. So go with the multigrains. The more grains, the better. Whole wheat, pastas, you know, even brown rice, you know, have a little bit of protein in it as well. Good carbs, though. Let's go with romaine lettuce, green leafy lettuce, broccoli, asparagus. You know, those are great ones. Carrots, can't go wrong with, you know, more fruits. Like I usually just make a big salad and mix it all in there together. Like this whole list, I'll throw in strawberries in my salad, nuts and berries, you know, some grapes in the salad sometimes, you know, of course, bananas we talked about, not in a salad, but maybe a fruit salad if you want to do that. But yeah, stay away from the white breads, the pastas, the white rice, flour, baked products, you know, sugar, you know, if you can eliminate sugar drinks, that's great. You know, especially if you're trying to keep your sugar levels lower, if you're trying to lose weight, you know, sometimes that sugar can be tough on you trying to, you know, drop some weight. But if you're doing it strictly for performance, you know, there's nothing wrong with, you know, sugar drinks. You just don't want soda, you know, just the carbonated water and the syrup is a little bit too much.
Yeah.
Proteins, meat, you can't go wrong. Lean meats, fish, chicken, eggs. I love eggs. I probably eat a couple dozen boiled eggs a week, you know. I send, you know, protein powders, nuts, almonds, beans, milk, and any type of milk. Some people ask, what about almond milk? What about rice milk? Yeah, milk, any milk, you know, milkshakes, you know, peanut butter, you know, I,
no, peanut butter's off your list.
You know, it is now off my list. It is now off my list, but I will tell you, it is a great source of fuel. You know, it really is. But if you're already eating a great amount of food and great source of fuel, it's not the best snack. Because I will tell you, I don't know if you noticed, but I am dropping weight just by dropping peanut butter from my diet. You know, I was getting an extra 600 to 800 calories a day.
Oh my gosh.
Of peanut butter. You know, I mean, I was working out 2 hours in the morning. I'd go work out again, you know, at lunch, get a quick, you know, 1,000, 1,500 meter swim in, maybe some elliptical or something, just some non-impact stuff. And then I might even go work out again and do some coaching with some weightlifting. And I wasn't losing weight. I'm like, this is ridiculous. I know I'm getting old, but damn. So I had to write my whole menu down, everything I'm eating. I'm like, huh, let me take out this peanut butter and see what happens. And I'll be damned. I know we shared this in one of the previous videos, but it works. You, if you're trying to lose weight, you know, write a list, see where the leaks are in your diet, and you know, and then eliminate that. You know, where it's happening. It takes a little discipline. You know, I just quit buying peanut butter, and I'm fine. So it's not that hard. but yeah, you know, it is a good source of fuel though. If you need fuel, especially if you're young, you're not trying to lose weight. Some other good ones, you know, fats, you know, you can't, you know, the other macronutrient is fat, you know, fish, nuts, olive oils, omega-3 fortified products, you know, peanut butter has fat in it. You know, I tend to get most of my fats from, nuts and fish. Yeah. But I like to also take an omega-3, supplement as well, just to balance it out, just in case I'm not getting as much as I should. So anyway, so back to, let's go back to the PST. Where people screw up in the PST is they go in maybe having eaten too much or not enough. You know, if you're somewhere in the middle, you're going to be just fine. And you should be able to last through the elements of the PST. Because if you do the math, I mean, you're putting out pretty hard for about 45 minutes in the PST with some rest breaks in between, which your body just doesn't have typically that much storage of high energy. Now, if you're in very, very good shape and you're not anaerobic, let's say you're not anaerobic during the swim, but you're still swimming a 7:45, you know, beating everybody. That's great. You know, if you can do that swim and not have a heart rate, you know, up in the 150 zone, you know, you're not going to be anaerobic and you're going to be, you won't be burning all that sugar, you know? So, you know, it does, you know, conditioning is a big part of it. However, you know, for most people, this is a high anxiety test. You know, it's about putting out the best you can, in all the events. But you know, at the same time, you need to have a strategy for all events. Like if you're really good at swimming, for instance, let's say you can get a 6-minute swim, right? But you're not that great at running. You don't want to try to push and try to break 6 minutes on the swim and be completely wasted for the run at the end. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can swim a 7-minute, you're going to beat 95% of the people in the pool, right? So kick back a little bit on the swim, still swim well, you know, you're still going to beat most of the people. And that's the key. If you do a 7-minute swim, people's going to say, dang, that's awesome. You know, if you swim a 6-minute swim, people are going to say, dang, that's awesome. You know, it's no big deal, you know, and you're going to have more energy for the pull up, push up, sit ups, and then that mile and a half run on the back end. You know, now if you're burning a lot of energy on that swim, just remember that you're going to probably need some type of fuel during your test. And for me, it's a real quick boost of sugar drink, you know, some Gatorade, sip it. And, you know, if you drink too much, you're going to probably throw up during the run. I mean, it happens. But you also need to take this test so many times so that you know what too much is. You know what I mean? If you drink a whole bottle, you're probably going to throw up at the end of the test. If you drink half a bottle, you probably won't. That's my experience. You know, I have thrown up during this test many, many times during the run, typically. And it's usually because I just had too much water. It was too hot. And I just fell apart on the back end, and it lost all my blood sugar and just got nauseated on the back end or just something like that. So it's jostling around in my belly and I get cramps, you know? So there's a lot of things that you're trying to avoid, at the same time as trying to improve, you know, during the thing. And you're trying to improve your blood sugar levels so you can stay anaerobic during this test, but you're also trying to avoid being too full so you don't cramp or you just feel a little bit nauseated. So,
you know, Stu, one of the things that that you taught me a long time ago was that not only is it important, there are kind of three things that you want to get yourself prepared. You want to use to prepare yourself. One is the nutrition, obviously, along with the hydration. But the second, and then the mental state that you're in. But they're also, the way that you structure workouts, and especially the ones that prepare for PSTs, is that you learn during those workouts that if you practice a little bit of the movement ahead of time, you'll be able to punch out more later on. And I know that's not intuitive unless you do these things a lot. So the other aspect of doing these tests a lot is to know that if you do a couple of sets of 15 or 20 pushups ahead of the,
oh yeah. Consider it a warm up, like a dynamic warm up, you know, in a specific dynamic warm up.
Yes.
So if you're going to do, if you know, you're going to swim, pull up, push up, sit ups, run, you know, some of your dynamic warm up should, you know, look similar to that. You know, you should warm up in the pool. You should do some, you know, butt kickers and Frankensteins and jog a little bit and do some push-ups, turn around, flex your abs, you know, flex your lower back, stretch your lower back, and, you know, do some sit-ups and pull-ups. And the biggest thing for me, I think, that has helped most people in the test, because they get so pumped up between the swim, yeah, the pull-up, push-ups, and the sit-ups, that now they're going to run, you know, for the mile and a half, and they're like, their upper body's so pumped up with blood. So it's like they're just jacked. And so what we have done in the past is do like what we call the PFT transition, where instead of taking that 10 minutes before the run and just stretching cold, right, you know, after the pull-ups, then you start stretching for 10 minutes, is actually do a little bit of a run. Right. And try to get some of that blood from your upper body down to your legs.
Yeah.
To prepare yourself for running. It's not much not any different than like a triathlete, you know, transitions from one event to the next. You know, if he's swimming, he's going to be kicking a little harder, you know, on the back end of the swim to just get his legs ready for the bike, you know, or if he's, you know, transition from the bike to the run, he's going to downshift and pedal a little bit faster to get ready for the gait of the running. So it's very similar to that. But what we want to do is try to get all that blood that's up here down to your legs. And it makes a big difference with how you feel on that first quarter to a half mile. Because if you've ever done a mile and a half and you said, man, I felt like crap the first half mile, and then, right, then I got into my rhythm. Well, if you do this little transition exercise of just running, shaking out your arms, loosening up, and then stretching your legs the last 5 minutes, you're going to feel a lot less of that. You know, the transition from upper body PT tests to running is a lot more gradual versus, you know, it just hitting you like a wall and your heart rate's pumped up so much because it's beating harder to get all this blood down to your legs during your test, and it throws your rhythm off, and you're anaerobic almost immediately. Then you really feel like crap towards the end of the, you know, 9 to 10 minutes of running a mile and a half.
And then Stu, what about after? So you've now done it, and what's the best tips on nutrition for after the test?
Well, good thing. Good question. The thing to remember is that, you know, when you finish a hard workout or a PST, is you're not just trying to recover from that workout that you just did. You're trying to prepare for the workout that is tomorrow as well. So that's how you have to look at that. So it really starts all same way back over, you need to replenish all your glycogen, you know, so carbohydrates is a good way, but good carbohydrates, like we listed, you know, the fruits, the vegetables, and then the proteins and amino acids will help rebuild any muscle, you know, exertion and damage that you've created from, you know, a hard workout. And so, yeah, proteins, amino acids, which amino acids are in proteins, and you can either get them as a supplement or you can eat them in real food. I prefer to eat them in real food and then supplement on the back end if I think I need more. That's my, and then of course fats, you know, if you get some of the, you know, omega-3 fatty type, foods, tuna fish, you know, nuts, almonds, you know, those type of things, they can also help with some of the inflammation that has occurred, from the workout as well. So all of it's a natural healing process to prepare you for the next day and heal you from strenuous activity.
And then your favorite, which has become my favorite this past summer, is the chicken soup.
Oh, yeah. You know what? If you're sweating profusely, and I mean, like, you can wring out your shirt with sweat. I mean, it's pretty disgusting, but it happens. It happens, especially on the East Coast, South, you know, whenever it's just hot and humid, you're going to sweat almost immediately. And, you know, an hour workout, you will have drenched your clothes. And you need some electrolytes after that, you know, if not during. So, yes, I happen to like to do chicken noodle soup at the end. I treat my exercise dehydration the same way I treat the flu. You know, if you've ever had the flu and you're feeling like crap and you're just, you know, you're throwing up and it's all this, you know, gross stuff that you're doing, you're really dehydrating yourself horribly. And then what happens? Your mom brings in chicken noodle soup. You eat chicken noodle soup and you're like, ah, I feel so much better. Well, that's how you're going to feel after being severely dehydrated and low electrolytes after some chicken noodle soup. So there you go. Yeah,
and I would tell you, you know, you had me doing it for a slightly different reason this summer, but I have to tell you, that is now in both of my homes, buddy. I keep that stuff there because it does work. I mean, it is probably one of the better things if you're really, depending on the time of day when you've worked out.
Yeah, really, it is. I mean, I tell you what, I have done everything. Like we just mentioned, I've done killer workouts, couple hour workouts, and I've proteined up, I've carbed up, I've eaten a nice meal afterwards, and I'm still laying on the couch thinking, man, I'm so lethargic. I'm exhausted. Yeah. What is going wrong? Right. And then I think, oh man, maybe I need some electrolytes. I go grab some chicken noodle soup, and it is like within 5 to 10 minutes, I am back, you know, and I can go back to doing my stuff. Otherwise I'd probably be laying on the couch for a little longer, you know? So it does help. It does help. We're not just, you know, coming up with some silly thing to do, and it costs less than a dollar at the grocery store. So I mean, it can save you. Like I said, I only do that if I'm really sweating profusely, you know, but you know, I like it regardless. You know, some days I just do it for lunch because I like it. You know, so
yes, that and a jar of peanut butter beside you, you'd be in good shape, man. Two of those two things. Yeah. One good, one not so good. All right, buddy. So summarize this for us. Let's go all the way back to the beginning. You're getting ready to take a PST.
All right, getting ready to take a PST. Eat your normal meal first, you know, 3 to 4 hours prior. Just to have, you know, a steady stream of nutrients going through your body, and it kind of helps you peak out your glycogen storage, right? And you have a high blood sugar level. A couple hours before, you might be a little hungry. That's when you go really light, you know, if you still want something, but you want something that can, you know, give you some higher energy levels. I tend to sip on things, you know, some Gatorade, some juice, you know, things that once again, I know that I like. And I also know that don't taste bad if they come back up, you know, so think about that too.
Yep.
If you ever had a burrito before a hard workout, you don't want to do that. You know, something with spice in it, you know, it's not that good because you get some, man, it gets nasty. So, yeah, keep it light a couple hours before, you know, do your hydration. Then when you go in there, you know, get a good warm up in. I tend to keep a really cold bottle of water with me and a really cold bottle of Gatorade. And when I get really hot, I may even dump the water on my head and sip the Gatorade. Or if I need a little bit of both, I drink both. But yeah, I think that is, for me, is what works for me really well. Just maintaining energy levels, you know, at that high, you know, anaerobic zone, you know, that a PT test sometimes requires, you know.
Yep. So we're going to, I think you mentioned at the top, we should take apart your, or should not take apart. We should.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good way to describe it.
The nutritional point, because you have this an awesome article. If people haven't seen it, the ABDs of nutrition, and it's worth doing it. And you and I'll go through this, but it really is good. And it goes all the way through, including why you work out at the certain times of day and what that means to your nutritional system. So it's really good. And I hadn't read it in a while, and I read it the other day. So we should take it apart, Stu, on a separate podcast.
Yes, I agree. There's a lot to discuss in there. And it really depends on your goals, too. You know, if you're trying to lose weight, if it's more performance-based, you're trying to gain weight. You know, that's another issue that a lot of kids have. So, yeah, we'll hit that one next, I think.
All right. Technical Fitness Report with Stu Smith, number 56, Nutrition Before the PST. All right, buddy. Later, pal.
All right. Thank you.